Please take your Bible and turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. In Matthew chapter 14, we're going to read a text to base our lesson upon this morning, and I hope it'll be an encouragement and a help to you today. So very glad to see each and every one of you here this morning, to be able to have worshiped our God, to participate in those things which are prescribed in His Word, and to do those things in a way that is pleasing to Him, in spirit and in truth. And to now open from His Word and to learn from His teaching, from His example, and from the lives of those who trusted Him. In Matthew chapter 14, we read of Peter being called by Jesus to come to Him. Now, in the text in Matthew chapter 4, that's actually when Jesus called him to follow Him, to leave all things behind and to come follow Me. But in this text, in Matthew chapter 14, we're reading about Jesus giving Peter a very special invitation. In fact, Jesus asks him to step out of a boat and to walk on water. Now, the question was actually initiated by Peter. Well, we'll talk about that in a little bit. But Jesus is asking the man to step out upon the water and to walk to Him. And on a good day, that would be impossible if it were not for Jesus Christ. But of course, Jesus Christ is Lord God. Jesus Christ has all authority. He has authority over the physical things of this world. And we're going to see that. Now, of course, this request, instruction, guidance given by Jesus to Peter, that's going to require faith. And it's going to require a dependence upon Jesus for that to successfully take place. But as we read the text, Peter begins the walk well. He gets out of the boat. He begins to walk upon the water. But something happens. He begins to sink. And if he did not take Jesus' hand, he would have been lost. Now, what we could say of Peter in that case, we could say of ourselves in a parallel. Those of us who are committed, obedient, faithful followers of Jesus Christ, we're called to follow Jesus every day of our lives. And sometimes we have to do what may appear to us to be impossible, difficult, or outside the realm of our understanding. And yet Jesus calls to us to come out from the world and to be with Him. That requires faith. It's going to require from us a dependence upon God and not upon ourselves. And not upon what we think we understand of this world. We have to rely more upon our God than what we think we understand about this world and its operation. Those of us who are in Christ, we've begun our walk of faith. We've begun well by obedience to the gospel. But it may be that you're struggling with doubt, or sinking in sin, or have anxiety and worry. And the truth is, we need to continue keeping our eyes on the Lord and accept the outstretched hand that He offers in help. And that's what I'd like to talk with you a little bit about this morning. As we begin, let's think about the storm. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, beginning, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side while He dismissed the crowds. And after He had dismissed the crowds, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. When evening came, He was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them, and in the fourth watch of the night. Now the disciples were facing a real problem. They couldn't deny that. It was a difficulty that they were in the midst of. It threatened their very lives, and they were in that troubled sea together, far away from the safety of land. It says the boat is being beaten by the waves and by the wind that is against them, and that it was very dark, the fourth watch of the night. And so, for them, in the midst of that situation, they couldn't see any way out. And they tried their best, but they just didn't see any way out of that. in and of themselves. And so let's think about people in a storm. And I'd encourage you to turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 57. You know, we expect sinful people to deal with and to have troubles in life because of their sin. And that is true. That is a reality of this life. Sin brings trouble and difficulty to the sinner. In fact, the Proverbs writer has said the way of the wicked or unfaithful is hard. That's a fact of life. In Isaiah 57, verse 20 and 21, the prophet here said, "The wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot be quiet, and its waters toss up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked." And so we understand that. But sadly, sometimes we think that we're above that, that we shouldn't have any troubles, we shouldn't have any trials, or there shouldn't be any of those things which can cause us to be concerned. You think about Jesus' disciples in a storm-tossed boat. They had left everything to follow Jesus, and yet they are in a very real danger. Now, what can we learn from that? That even disciples of Jesus Christ will sometimes find themselves, ourselves, in danger, with things swirling all around us, trying to attract our attention away from the Lord and to it. And they can be very real problems. You think about some of God's greatest servants down through history and in the biblical record who dealt with difficulties. Job, a man whom God held up as a wonderful example for us to look to for faith and patience. And yet that man suffered and dealt with troubles. You think about Daniel, another exemplary man who lived a life that was faithful to God, even though he was in a foreign country under a rule that was not God's rule, and that is civil government. And yet, what was he? He was faithful to God, and yet he had to face the lions in their den. Now, he overcame that just as Job overcame his troubles and trials by enduring it with God. Fast forward to the New Testament, and you think about the Apostle Paul, who in the Corinthian letter itemizes and lists out the troubles that he dealt with in his life as a faithful child of God. He talks about being beaten and shipwrecked, cold and hungry. And yet he said, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair." Why? Because he had faith in God and not in the storms and the people of man. Turn over to John chapter 16. We are going to be coming back to our text in Matthew, so you might want to put your finger there or hold place there, but go to John chapter 16, verse 33. You know, the scriptures are very clear that as long as we're in this world, we're going to have trials and troubles. We're going to have difficulties. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus has said to his disciples, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." You see, he's not saying there won't be any more troubles now that I'm here. But he's saying, because of me, you can see this through. Because of me, you can know there's something better, something much better than anything you're going to see or experience here in this world. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. Do not give up. Don't worry. Take heart. How can we do that? Because our Lord Jesus Christ has overcome this world. Now, our troubles may come in the form of sickness. It may come from family who don't want to behave themselves. It may come from the betrayal of friends, a loss of finances, persecution for our faith, or difficulties in our country. But troubles, they come. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, consider that God never promises us smooth sailing in this life. But he does promise to help us get through the storms of life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Here, the Holy Spirit, through the pen of the apostle, said this: "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world." And this is the victory that has overcome the world: our faith. You see, just as Jesus in John's account said, "I have overcome the world," the Holy Spirit is saying, "You can overcome the world too." How? Through faith. Confidence in God and obedience to His Word. You can overcome just like He did. Now, certainly we are not the Son of God. Certainly we won't overcome it in quite the same way as He has, but we will enjoy the victory that He has. We will overcome it because He has said we will. And we will not have to endure all of this forever. So we've thought about the storm that these disciples are in, a very real threat to them. We've thought about the Savior for a little while, and certainly we don't leave Him behind. The Savior. Matthew chapter 14, verse 25, beginning. Matthew chapter 14, verse 25. "In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were terrified. And they said, 'It is a ghost.' And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid.'" Now think about Jesus' view of the situation. Mark tells us in his account that Jesus saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. That's in Mark chapter 6, verse 48. He was fully aware of what was going on. He knew exactly where they were and what was happening to them. You think about Jesus, who knows all things, who in the Revelation is described as having eyes of fire, able to see into the hearts and lives of all. And you think of Jesus, who wrote to the church at Smyrna, saying, "I know your tribulations and your poverty." Well, he knows the trouble that His disciples can be in. And just as then, He knows our problems and our trials. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, the Hebrews writer here says this by inspiration: "That no creature is hidden from His sight, but that all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account." Now certainly there is a warning implied in this text. You give account to the God of heaven who sees all things. Nothing can be hidden, nothing can be disguised, nothing can be lost to Him. But just so, He knows exactly where we are. He knows exactly what we're going through, just as He did for those disciples in that storm-tossed sea, in that boat, making little, if any, headway. He had a view of the situation, but He also was there with them. The Holy Spirit tells us in Matthew chapter 14, verse 25, that Jesus went to those disciples, and He did so in His own way. In the fourth watch of the night, He came to them walking on the sea. Now, He came to them while they were in danger, and He was there even though they didn't recognize Him. They didn't really comprehend how this could be Jesus, but He was there nonetheless. And you know, Jesus promises us that He'll be here with us and with all of His children, wherever we may be, in whatever circumstance we find ourselves, when we have trials and hardships. I encourage you to turn over to Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to read a couple of texts while you turn over to Philippians chapter 4. But you think about when Jesus gave the Great Commission. As Jesus speaks to His disciples, having all authority in heaven and on earth, and He tells them with that authority, "I'm telling you to do something." Now Jesus is the one with the authority, giving the instruction to the apostles. And He says, "You go and you preach the gospel to every creature. You baptize them in the name of Jesus, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit." He also, though, says this: "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." You see, that promise of presence is not just for the apostles, but for the disciples. The Holy Spirit promises us in Hebrews 13, verse 5, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And we can have confidence in our God who is faithful. Now in Philippians chapter 4, where I've asked you to turn, the Apostle Paul writes this by inspiration, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We can have that peace because of who Jesus is and where He is. But He also had power over the situation. Again, Matthew 14 doesn't just tell us that He went to them, but that He went to them how? He went to them by walking on the water. Before they knew it, He's there with them in the midst of the danger. As one writer said, the problem that seemed to be over their heads was under His feet. He's in control. And He demonstrates that even by His very presence and how He made His approach. And He did it even before they knew what He had done. Even before they really grasped what's going on here. Now, when it comes to our problems today, in whatever form they may take, Jesus has the power to help us. Even if we, in our limited view of things, in our limited understanding, in our limited experience, even if we can't see how it'll work out, we can be sure that He can work it out. And His will be done. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. He can do things beyond what we understand. Just like He did for those disciples on the sea in that storm. Remember, little children, you're from God. And you've overcome this world. For He who's in you is greater than he who is in this world. Now, that promise, that hope, that's only available to us as long as we are in Him. And we remain in Him. We keep our eyes trained on Him. Because you see, not only was there a storm and a Savior, but there's also sinking. Let's look at the sinking of Peter. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 28, beginning. Peter answered Him, Jesus, Lord, if it is You, command me to come to You on the water. There's the question. That's Peter's desire. And Jesus said, come. So Peter got out of the boat, and he walked on the water, and he came to Jesus. So far, so good. And I don't say that to be silly. I mean, that's exactly what it is. He's doing good. He's doing exactly what he can do because of the Lord. But, and oftentimes isn't there a but. But, when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out. Now, Peter is a man who knew the water. That was his work. That was his livelihood. He knew what it was to be in a storm. And now he's just experienced walking on water. But then he looked at the waves and the wind, and he began to sink. Now again, Peter's desire is to walk on that water and to come to Jesus. So he's not lacking a desire in that way. And again, he began that walk. He had his attention fully on Jesus. He had his eyes locked on Him. He was listening to Him. He was trusting Him, and he was obeying Him. He was walking by faith, not by sight. But then he saw something else. You know, he was doing exactly what he could do because of the Lord, but then he saw the environment in which he was walking. the environment in which he was living, the environment in which was around him, took his attention. And in verse 30, when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." You see, the worry didn't enter in until he looked away. The worry didn't enter in until he took his eyes and put them on something somewhere else. He looked at the trouble. He looked at the storm, and he began to sink. His focus on the danger shook his faith. It caused doubt. And that doubt changed his footing. It changed his ability to stand fast, to stand firm, and to make progress towards the Lord. Now, many times, we may be walking in faith well. We may have started well. We may be making our progress in growing and in being strengthened by God's Word and by God's people and the work that we have to do. But we begin to sink in the troubles and hardships of life because we take our eyes off the Lord. We pay too much attention to what's going on around us and not enough attention on the Word and the Lord. I am not saying that we ought to ignore and not have any understanding of what's going on in this world. But I'm saying our faith must remain in the Lord. Our trust must remain in the Lord. We must keep our eyes focused on Him and see everything going on around us in light of Him. And understand that our journey is to Him. Our journey is to Him. Let's determine that we won't take our eyes off the Lord when the problems and pressures of this life arise. Because they will. They always have. Let's don't take our eyes off the Lord and on the Word and on the work He's given us to do. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. Let's concentrate our minds, our lives on the Lord and on being faithful to Him each step of the way. In Hebrews chapter 12, after having presented us with a great hall of faith and individuals, men and women, down through the ages who have lived life on this earth before God faithfully, doing that which pleases God, the Hebrews writer then in verse 1 of chapter 12 said, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings to us so closely." You see, he said you have to lay aside some other things, not just sin. Anything that's going to weigh you down and keep you from serving the Lord and making it home, it's a weight you don't need to be carrying. He said, thinking about those whom God has understood to be faithful, you cast aside the weight and cast aside the sin that clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Again, notice that. Not only is it a race set before us, but it's going to require endurance. It's not a sprint. It's more of a marathon. It is a life lived before us that may be long. It may be arduous. It may at times be the most difficult thing you've ever done, but it can be done. You've got to set aside the weight. We've got to set aside the sin. We've got to run with endurance the race set before us. And how do we do that? We look to Jesus. He said, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. Did Jesus Christ know trouble? Did He have to deal with people who were acting unruly, hatefully, spitefully? Absolutely, He did. But He endured the cross, despising the shame. And where is He now? He is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. There is success in going the same path. Go the way He went. Obedience to the Father. That's what it's about. And He says, keep your eyes on Me. Don't ever forget that the Lord has promised to be patient with us and to help us. but that we have to participate in that. We can't expect it to be done for us. And we can't expect to find it anywhere but in Him. So think about the salvation. Go to Matthew chapter 14. Beginning in verse 31. This is when Peter is begun to sink and he cries out, "Lord, save me." In verse 31, Jesus immediately reached out his hand and he took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Now I want you to notice the Lord was timely about his help. Now, how he chooses to help is in his hand. He'll do what's best. In this case, Peter was going to go down quick. And he reached out his hand. He extended the offer. And he offered rebuke as well. "O you of little faith." So, faith, that is obedient trust, had a part to play in his success to that point. But then his faith weakened when he became distracted by the storm around him. And that can happen as well to us when we doubt. It says in verse 32, when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped Jesus, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." Consider that Jesus was not only aware of the trouble, but that he cares. That he was there when they needed him. And that he extended his hand to help. And with that help, he offered rebuke that was needed to move on beyond the moment. You see, Peter still had a life to live. Peter still had faith to demonstrate. And things that were going to tax him and test him. He didn't just need immediate help, he needed continuing help. And that's what Jesus is offering. But you know, Peter had to accept the hand. Peter had to get in the boat. If he had not taken the Lord's hand, if he had refused the Lord's hand, what would have happened? He would have sunk. He would have gone down. But he accepted the help. He took the hand. He got into the boat. You know, the same is true for us. God is aware of us and of the troubles we face. Not just the troubles that are going on in our nation and in this world, but the troubles that you face in your home or at work or as you're on your way traveling. He knows all these things. Remember, He has eyes of fire that can look even at the hearts. He certainly knows the activities and He knows the environments. He cares. And He's there with us when we are obeying His will, when we follow His word. And He extends our help to us. But we must take His hand. We must continue in obedience, our faithful walk, because we're not going to make it with little faith. We need to have a stronger faith. Turn over to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. This will be the last text we'll look at. You know, the greatest danger that we can face is to be in our sin and apart from God. That is to be sinking. That is to be outside the safety of the boat and outside the care of the Lord and to be lost. And time is of the essence. There's no time to delay. We're not promised tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation, as the Lord has said. And if you haven't obeyed the gospel, then you're in imminent danger. You need to obey the gospel. You need to be in Jesus Christ. Where the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8 tells us, there is now no condemnation in Him. And in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26, we find, "For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And so you see, when we obey the Lord's command to repent and to be baptized into Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins, we put on Christ. It is there that we find help and hope, that we find salvation, that we can be counted as sons of God through faith. If you're not right with God, you need to do that today. Now, if you're a child of God who has lost your way, you're in doubt, you need to be strengthened. Don't have little faith. Strengthen your faith. If there's sin in your life, repent of it. Pray God forgiveness. And if you need help just through strengthening, through study and encouragement, then let us know that as well. Whatever your spiritual need, if we can assist you this morning in making your life right and making your life as it ought to be, then please come while we stand and while we sing the song Select.